wise counsel. So as we look at this one proverb, chapter 14, verse 8, if you're wise, you will listen. And if you're wise, you will attain here some wise counsel. Proverbs 14, verse 8. Bear with me as I read this verse. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Now, ever since I was a kid, and some of you probably would say the same thing, many of the men, I think, I have enjoyed sports. I played a lot of them. Growing up, I played football, believe it or not. I did. Baseball, softball, soccer, and wrestling. Go wrestling. I didn't play basketball. I don't know why. I just never got into that. But we wrestlers had a motto, and I don't know, Keenan, if you guys have this motto here, but we wrestlers had a motto. The basketball team and the wrestling team practiced at about the same time, and we'd come out of the wrestling room, and we'd see those guys playing basketball, and we'd say, better to have wrestled and lost than to have played basketball. No offense to the basketball players. Well, if you're into sports, even if you're not into sports, I'm sure you know this. There's a little thing in sports, many sports that we watch on TV, many sports that we play. There's this little thing called, what is that? Timeout. Called timeout. Timeout. And a timeout is simply a temporary halt in play. Timeout is stop. Timeout. Right? We take a break. And timeouts are actually a very strategic tool in sports. A timeout is a chance for the players to talk with their coach. It's a chance for them to stop for a moment, to think about how they've been playing, to adjust their strategy if need be, and even to get inspired and encouraged to go on and finish strong in the game. Timeouts are not only a strategic tool, they're a very powerful tool. They can be the difference between winning and losing. Well, it's not that different in life. There are times when you need to take a timeout. There are times when you need to just stop. Stop. And think about what you're doing. Think about how you've been living. Think about where you're headed. And be inspired and encouraged to go on. There are times when you need to take time out in your work. Times you need to take time out in your marriage. Times you need to take time out in your family, in your ministry, and make some adjustments before you move on. Well, that's what this verse is. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. As you're going to see, God is encouraging us here to, from time to time, take some time out. Now, one of my favorite ways to study Proverbs, you know it because I've said it before, is simply to ask questions and go for the answers. So let's ask a few questions this morning. At least seven of them. All right? Number one, what is wisdom? You know, it says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Well, what is wisdom? You probably have heard it defined as skill for living. I think that's a good definition. Wisdom is a skill. I think the best definition is found in the book of Proverbs itself, and we read it. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. We read it, or Dan read it to us. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says this. See if you can grab a definition for wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now listen, you can go to college and get knowledge, but you don't necessarily get understanding of how to use all that knowledge in everyday life. Wisdom is different than mere knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge of something and the insight, the understanding about how you use that knowledge to make things better, to make life better. Okay? Here in Proverbs 14:8, it says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. This is the skill of the prudent. They have knowledge and understanding about something in particular in life. Who are the prudent? Second question. who are the prudent? It says the wisdom of the prudent. You ever use that word? It's not one we use a lot, maybe. Who are the prudent? That guy's really prudent. The dictionary definition, or some synonyms given, are cautious, careful, and especially in light of consequences. The prudent are referring to a particular kind of people. And as you see in this verse, Proverbs 14:8, there are only two kinds. The prudent and fools. Right? You want to be the prudent in this verse. The prudent are those who understand that words have consequences. Actions have consequences. Decisions have consequences. And knowing that, the prudent are careful about what they say, about what they do, and about what they decide. That's who the prudent are. They are a certain kind of people. And here, God in His grace is revealing to us the key aspects of prudence. All right? Real quick thought here. Parents and grandparents. Have you ever had this? Your child does something that you look at that and you say, that's not wise. You know what they just did or what they just said or what they just decided. It's not wise. And now you see them suffering the consequences. And what do we say sometimes? We say, well, you should have thought about that before you did it. You should have thought about that before you said it, right? What are we saying? We don't say this, but they're lacking prudence. They didn't think about the consequences. They just acted. They just spoke. They just decided. And now they're suffering the consequences. And we're saying, well, you should have thought about that first. That's prudence. Prudence is thinking, you know, if I do that, if I decide that, what? Bad things could happen. Proverbs 22 says, the prudent man sees the evil ahead and hides himself, but the simple go on and are punished. The prudent are the people who have foresight. And here God is encouraging us to be prudent by revealing to us, opening us up to us, what it is that they do. 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So third question, what is your way? What is your way? Well, another word for way is path. And a way or a path in the woods is the well-worn path that everyone keeps walking. Your way is your path of life, your pattern of life. And there are many aspects to your way. You know, when we first moved here, we had kind of like this little path going between the driveway and the front door. We didn't go in through the garage. We'd walk through the yard, and pretty soon there's this path there. Well, if you'd have come over, you'd have said, well, it looks like you people get out of your car and walk across the yard to your front door. Yes, that it was a pattern of ours. Well, you have these in life. You have probably a certain time that you get up each day, right? Certain time you get up on Sundays. A certain time you get up on Mondays. You also have more or less a certain time you go to bed at night. Saturday nights, what time do you go to bed? Sunday nights, what time do you go to bed? These are part of your way, your pattern of life. You have a way of dealing with, let's think about the aspects of your way. You have a way of dealing with money, right? You have a way. If we were to see it, we'd say, oh, I see a pattern here. You have a way of dealing with money. Are you a spender, a saver, a giver? You have a certain way of dealing with time. Do you use it wisely? Do you waste it? Do you plan how you're going to spend time? Do you not plan? Why do you plan or not plan? You have a way of dealing with people. And husbands, your wives would probably tell us. Wives, your husbands could tell us. You have a way of dealing with people. Are you kind and gentle? Are you gruff and harsh? You have a way of dealing with stuff. Do you tend to hoard things and stack them up? Or do you tend to throw them away? Or do you tend to keep organizing and reorganizing and reorganizing? These are all aspects of your way. Right? Well, You also have a way of dealing with words. You have a way of dealing with correction. Are you humble? Do you accept correction well? Or are you stubborn, defensive, prideful? Right? These are all aspects of our way. And you have a way. The question is, what is it? And do you yourself understand your own way? The prudent do. 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So fourth question, what does it mean exactly to understand your own way? What does that mean exactly? The word here for understand elsewhere is translated consider, meditate, diligently consider, discern. All right, if you put that in here, the wisdom of the prudent is to consider carefully, to diligently think about his or her own way. That's their wisdom. That's their skill. A fellow pastor is the one who taught me this verse, a guy by the name of Tom Pennington. And he taught me this a few years ago, and he put it like this. If you're a prudent man or a prudent woman, you will take time out now and then to give careful thought to your way, your well-worn path of habits, and you will make adjustments. Fifth question. Well, if Doc Filson is right and God is sovereign, I'm sure this question came to your mind. If Doc Filson is right and God is sovereign, how can you really understand? Because isn't God the one who kind of directs and oversees and kind of knows how you got to where you are now? Well, turn over to Proverbs 20, verse 24. Proverbs 20, verse 24. Here, Solomon tells his son, and our Heavenly Father tells us, that a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Now, it seems like the answer would be, he can't. Right? That's what it seems implied. And in a sense, to a degree, we can't. You know, you've probably heard this question before. People say, why did I wait so long to become a Christian? I've heard people ask that. Why could have been spending my youth years serving Jesus instead of wasting my time. Well, you know, a man's steps are of the Lord. This verse would give them comfort. Look, your steps are of the Lord. God is sovereign. You know, it wasn't up to you. And, you know, don't fret over that. But notice the second line. All right. Proverbs 20, 24. The second line is not a statement. It is a question. How then can a man understand his own way? Well, we just read the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his own way, right? Here the question is, well, how can he? So turn to Proverbs 28, verse 5. Proverbs 28, verse 5. This verse is specific, but it's also general. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. The second line is very general. Those who seek the Lord can have great understanding about many things, even their own way. So what is the encouragement back in Proverbs 14:8? What does it mean to understand your own way? It means to consider your own way in light of what the Lord says, right? If the Lord says, the past several weeks we've been looking at wisdom for 2012. And in the first message, I preached on Psalm 127 and said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That ought to make you stop and say, am I laboring in vain? That's looking at your labors in light of what the Lord says. Does that make sense? The next week, Pastor Jonathan preached on Psalm 90. And part of that is, Lord, teach us to number our days. Well, what would the prudent do with that? The prudent would say, am I making wise use of my days? Am I using my life to a good purpose? Am I making wise use of the time and the talents, the gifts that God has given me? Then we looked at Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the talents. And we said the talents are those precious disciples that God entrusts to you. Maybe it's your children. Maybe you have a Bible study. It's those in your Bible study. Maybe it's those in your youth group. What will the prudent do with that? They'd say, am I making wise use of those that God has entrusted to me? Am I pouring my life into them? Am I discipling them? Am I teaching them the truth? Am I setting a good example for them? The prudent, their wisdom is to think about their ways in light of what God says. Last week we talked about use of money, right? From 1 Timothy 6. And we talked about God has freed us up because He gives us all things richly that we need to enjoy life. He's freed us up to be generous. What's the wisdom of the prudent? To say, am I generous or am I not? This is the wisdom of the prudent. And it is to take some time out to consider your way. The prudent, and I hope this is you, the prudent take time out to consider questions like this. What is my way with money? And Lord, is it pleasing to you? What is my way with time? And Lord, is it pleasing to you? What is my way with people? And Lord, is it pleasing to you? What is my way with stuff? And Lord, is it pleasing to you? What is my way with advice and instruction and correction? And Lord, is it pleasing to you? And that's a short list. Many other areas of your life that you could examine. Lord, what is my way with my wife? What is my way with my children? What is my way with my fellow elders, my fellow laborers, my fellow deacons? What is my way with the church? Right? What is my way with the teaching of God? The prudent man, the prudent woman, the prudent husband, the prudent wife, prudent parents, and prudent students will take time out now and then to consider their ways before the Lord. All right, I think we're up to number six. Sixth question. When might you take time out to understand your way? You know, if the prudent take time out now and then to understand their way, when might you do that? Well, first, you might do that whenever you want. Because there's no law or rule here. I was taught this proverb in the context of a seminar on life and time management. And I was encouraged. I was given a piece of advice that I have followed probably for 6 years, maybe seven now, to take a day away every so often. And I do it at my birthday, which is in the middle of the year in May. And then I do sometime, usually around the end of the year, I just take a day away to consider my ways. And you know what? It's a blessing. I take a day away sometime in May and I say, what is my way? See, you could do that too. But if your birthday's in June, you're stuck. You know, I think about it and I go through a list. Lord, what is my relationship like with you? Is it close? Have I been loving you? Have I been seeking you? Right? I think, what is my relationship like with Denise, my wife? Have I been loving her the way you want me to love her? And I think through my way. What is my way with Jake and Jordan? What's my relationship like with them? Are we growing closer together? Are we growing further apart? Am I still caring for them and leading them? Am I setting a good example for them? I think about, what is my way with my brothers and sisters in Christ? With you, I think about you. What is my way? And I go through the directory nowadays. What's my way like with each one of these people? What am I doing? Am I praying for them? Am I seeking to preach the word to them? Am I trying to encourage them? Am I trying to be a good example to them? Where do I need to make changes? I ask, what is my relationship with my friends and my family? And I look through what I've been doing with money and time. And then I think about what needs to change. Well, you can't change everything at once, right? So usually I'll pick one thing and say, Lord, I know I need to work here. And then I'll think about how I can make changes and set some goals for the coming year. So when can you take time out to understand or consider your way? Anytime you want. And I would encourage you, maybe around your birthday or maybe at the beginning of each year or today, whenever you want, to take some time out and consider your ways. But there's another time when you might take time out, and that's when you need to. When you need to. Have you ever had it where things have gotten a little out of hand? Maybe financially, maybe emotionally, maybe in your family, maybe in your relationship with a girlfriend, with a boyfriend, I don't know. Maybe things have gotten sort of, and you know, they're not well. That's time to take time out, right? Time out. Let's stop here. What's happening? Why is this happening to us? What are we going to do differently? How are we going to fix this? How are we going to resolve this? There are times in life when, you know, things tell you, circumstances tell you, the situation tells you, you need to take time out and consider your way. Maybe your money is going and you don't know where it's going. Time out. You're sporting a toed these days and you need an attitude adjustment. Time out is an attitude adjustment tool, or can be. Maybe you feel like you've just been going through the motions. People say that often, right? I feel like I'm just going through the motions. Time out. Don't just go through the motions next week. Stop. Think. Adjust. Maybe someone's just died or is about to. It's a good time to take a time out. Think about your life in light of how brief it is. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it's better to go to the house of mourning, like a funeral home, right? Than to go to the house of feasting, like restaurant or, you know, whatever, place of joy and festivity. Why is it better to go to a funeral at times? Because that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. The living, when they go to a funeral, ought to take a time out and say, you know, I'm going to die too. Am I doing what I ought to be doing? Time out, right? So you can do it whenever you want to. You ought to do it when you really need to. There's another time to take a time out. It's when you're told to. Right? You say, well, I don't know that anybody's ever told me. Well, let me fix that. You ought to take a time out now and then, right? But have you ever heard preachers say, you know, I really encourage you to think about what we heard today? He's trying to say, take a time out. Have you ever heard a preacher say, you know, I encourage you to examine your heart before the Lord? What are they saying? Take time out. That's what they're saying. We might not say take time out. You ever hear the Bible study teachers say, we need to think about these things? They're saying, take time out. You know, any time that the Bible teachers teach on some topic or some passage or some subject, there is an implied, here's what's implied, not just implied, it's a fact. God is speaking to you. You ought to listen to Him. You ought to take time out to think about your ways in light of what God just said in that Bible study, in that sermon. Right? So whenever you're told to. You remember the words of the prophet Haggai? Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What was God saying? Take time out. You've got to think about what you've been doing. He says it again in Haggai 1:7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You remember what was happening? They were not experiencing the blessing of God. And God says, don't you wonder why? You're not experiencing my blessing. Don't you wonder why? And God was saying, you ought to stop and ask that. Lord, why are things this way? And God says, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? You look for much, but it comes to little. And when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Says the Lord. Why? Because of my house that's in ruins while all of you runs to his own house. They were neglecting the temple of God, right? And God is saying, you ought to examine your ways and you'll see why things are the way they are. Let me ask you this. Is there any specific time you can think of when God tells you very clearly you should take a time out? Anybody think of what that is? I do have a particular answer in mind, so I know you're all scared you won't get it right. But Sabbath, okay, good. Teach us to number our days, which is fairly general, right? How about communion? We are commanded every time we partake of communion. We are commanded. And I know, Elijah, you got that right, but somebody had to voice it. So they're probably like 98% right answers here. Every time we take communion, we are commanded, let a man examine himself and then partake of the bread and the cup. So every 3 weeks as a minimum, you ought to be taking at least a brief time out before you receive the Lord's table. Time out to consider your relationship with Jesus Christ and your ways before Him. But let me give you the single most important one of all. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I am forever and will be eternally grateful for the man who told me that I needed a timeout. It wasn't my parents, though they probably gave me timeouts. But a man told me, in essence, I needed to take a timeout. And this is what he told me. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. I know you've heard it many times. This man, having heard my answers to questions that he gave me, he understood I wasn't in the faith, but I thought I was. And he called upon me to examine myself before the Lord. You know, this morning I want to call upon you to examine yourself even now before the Lord. And I'm going to give you some of the test questions that he gave me. Do you really know Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? What would be the evidence that you really love Him? Do you know His commandments? Do you keep His commandments? Do you love the brethren? Do you love people in church? Do you hate sin? Are you growing in Christ? Do you love even strangers? Peter in 2 Peter has a whole list of things which he says, if these are yours and increasing, oh, entrance is going to be granted to you abundantly into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, take time out now and examine your life before the Lord. Are you in the faith? Do you really know Jesus Christ? And if the answer is no, I have good news for you. God is sovereign. He directed your steps here today. He wants you to take time out to consider your ways. And He wants you, if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in the gospel, He wants you today to turn from your sin, to turn around. Right? You're on the wrong path. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. How do you do that? You call upon the Lord today and say, Lord, I admit it. I don't know You. I've been on the wrong way. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I want to know You. As I was driving up I-25 towards the academy on Friday to pick up Jordan and his friends who are here, I called an old friend of mine, Jack Hughes. Just wanted to say hello and talk to him. I know this Sunday is his last Sunday at his church. He's leaving his church where he's been pastoring, and he's going to go off and write books. I wanted to call him and encourage him. I kind of wanted to find out how he was doing with that. And I wanted to thank him for the influence he's had in my life. Well, we got about a minute into the conversation. He goes, John, hey! Did you hear about my Nate? My Nate? You're Nathan? Yeah, did you hear about my Nate? Nate, my boy. No, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, Nate was at college recently, and he's attending the Master's College out here, and he goes, he was at this college event, and this young guy got up and started sharing his testimony. And this kid says, you know, I grew up the son of a preacher. And my Nate sat and thought, that's me. And I, you know, I had all the answers because my dad taught me so much Bible that I just had all this Bible knowledge. And Nate sat there and thought, that's me. And then this kid said, but you know what I didn't have? I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't know Him. Not really. I did all the things I was supposed to do, and I was a good boy and obedient. But I didn't know Christ. At which point, Jack told me that his Nate took a time out. He walked right out of the building, went and sat down under a tree and began weeping and asking God to save his soul. He said, man, my Nate came home. He was a different man. Joy, sense of direction, sense of purpose. He said, Dad, in fact, I'm going to change my major from accounting to the Bible. Hallelujah. Right? Listen, that is the best application of all that I'm saying. Let's go back to 14:8 and sum it up. Proverbs 14:8. You know, what are you saying, Pastor? I read a book yesterday on writing, and the writer who's writing about writing, he says, the hardest thing is to figure out what it is you're trying to say. Well, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The skill for life that certain people have, people who are worthy to be called prudent, cautious people who understand there are consequences to our actions, their wisdom, their skill is to take time out, to think about, to carefully consider their ways before the Lord. Their way is made up of all their different ways. One last question. I think this should be about number 7. So is there any other way to live? Sure. Second half of the verse. But the folly of fools is deceit. Fools are described by God as those who despise wisdom and instruction. Fools hear something like this and they do nothing with it. Nothing. That's deceit. In other words, fools deceive themselves into thinking, my way's already good. I don't need to examine my ways. I don't need to adjust. Fools are ones who think, my way is already right. But what's the proverb? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, or the end of that way is destruction. Listen, don't be like the fools. Don't deceive yourself. Don't reject what you heard today from the Lord through His Word. Take time out today and consider your way in light of what you have heard. Let's pray. Father, You are gracious and kind to give us Your wisdom. And what a loving Father You are to speak to us as sons and to tell us the secret of the prudent, to reveal to us what it is that certain people in this world are doing. They're taking time out to understand their ways before You. Father, examine our hearts. Help us to understand our own way and whether or not our way is Your way. Help us to see, are we on the path that leads to life and not on the path that leads to destruction? I pray that each one here today, each one who has heard these words, would take them to heart and put them into practice. In Christ's name, amen.
As we consider our ways, let's sing the song together, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, which would remind us, take time today to consider my life in light of what Christ My Savior thinks. May the mind of Christ My Savior.
May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, in exalting, self-abasing, this is victory.
Fifth is the last, please.
May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go.
further challenge from the chorus, Seekers of Your Heart. Lord, we want to know You.
Lord, we want to know You. Live our lives to show You. All the love we owe You, we're seekers of Your heart. We're seekers of
Pastor John talked about taking a time aside. He had his day away in May to consider his way. But we can also take a day in July to consider the whys. Or take a day in December for a time to remember. Take some time today to consider my pay. That's thinking about money. Take some time now and then to consider my friends. Take some time on a Sunday to prepare yourself for Monday. Take some time at the pool to consider the fools. That one's not so hot. And my birthday's in October, and I can't think of a single word, so you guys will have to help me with that. Seriously. We have a life that's filled with urgent things that need to be done. Let's remember to take some time for the important things. Take some time to consider our ways. And if you can think of a rhyme for October, let me know, okay? We are dismissed. Don't rush off. Make sure you see some friends and encourage them. Provoke somebody to love and good works. We're dismissed.